Would you turn to Romans chapter 8? We're going to continue our look at that golden chain of salvation. Beginning in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that you would call us. Lord, call us by your Spirit. Call us by your gospel. Call us by your grace. Lord, we ask that you would call, for Christ's sake, each one of us by name. Bless this time together. We pray for our friends that aren't here, that you would keep them, and we pray for your blessing and your presence. Be with all your people wherever they meet together. We pray for those that are sick. We pray for your blessing upon them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The third thing mentioned in what we would call the golden chain of salvation is calling. Calling. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now, this is God calling me. This is God calling me. You. In this call, it's a personal call. The Lord said he calleth his own sheep by name. Now that doesn't mean you're going to hear your audible name called. Samuel did. You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 3 where he heard the Lord call Samuel. He heard his name. Audibly, and he went to Eli. He thought it was Eli calling him, and Eli said, "You listen again, and when you hear your name called, say, 'Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth.'" And I hope every one of us are saying that right now. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Now look at the way this passage begins in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. I think it's how many times have you heard people think, "I think everything works together. I think everything's going to work out. I think all things are working together." Well, yeah. Why don't you finish the rest of the verse? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. Did you hear that? To them who are the called according to his purpose. Look in Romans chapter 9, verse 11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, what an important statement, the purpose of God. This is God's purpose. That the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that what? Calleth. And this is God's purpose. That salvation might not be by human works, but of him that calleth. Now let's consider this thing of the call. There is what has been named a general call. And I have no doubt that that's the call of creation. Creation says God is. Somebody says, well, I don't believe that. I'm an atheist. Well, maybe now, but you haven't always been. There was a time when you knew. Creation said, creation screams, God is. Somebody made this and nobody made him. Everybody has that light of nature. And that's a call to seek the Lord, isn't it? We ought to seek the Lord. And then there's the call that goes out just in the preaching of the gospel. You know something about this call? Everybody rejects it. Everybody without exception rejects that call. And then we have the call spoken of in our text. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now this is a call that is irresistible. You can't resist it. If you can resist this call, he's not calling you. I think of so many examples in the scripture. Matthew, follow me. Could Matthew, under any circumstance, have said no? Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. Could Zacchaeus have said, don't believe I'm going to. I'm going to reject that call. What about Lazarus? Lazarus, come forth. Could Lazarus have said, I don't think so. No, he that was dead came forth. Now this is the call the scripture is speaking of, and this is his call. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 for just a moment. You know, the Bible says a whole lot more about this call than most preachers talk about. Look how this is so a part of the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified. Now unto the Jews, the religious people, this is a stumbling block. They stumble at this. You're going to tell me that I'm saved wholly because of what somebody else did on that cross? What about my works? What about my responsibility? What about good works? I mean, you're just saying all that stuff is immaterial. I stumble at that. I have a hard time with that. And then to the Greeks, it's foolishness. How's this going to help my life? I mean, what is this going to do to add to my well-being in this life? It's just foolishness. But look what it says in verse 24. But unto them which are called. And in the original, the definite article is used. To them which are the called. Now this is the difference between life and death. Being called by God. And what my response is Lord, call me. Somebody else says, why didn't he call everybody? Well, whatever he does is right. I'm not able to explain all that, but here's my response. Lord, call me. Don't leave me to myself. Call me by your grace. Hebrews 9:15 says, they which are called might receive eternal inheritance. Now this call, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, is the call of grace. Remember what Paul said? When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. This is the call of grace. You're called by grace. Grace gives you ears to hear. Grace gives you the heart to receive. And by grace, you become a grace believer. He called me by his grace. That's the first time you really believe salvation by grace. When he calls you by his grace. You might be indoctrinated in some things, but when he calls you by his grace, you believe grace. You are a grace believer. Listen to this scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, and this is a very precious verse of scripture. Get a hold of this. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Everything he requires for you to do, he enables you to do. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You're called upon to believe. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now, this call is the result of salvation. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I suppose I quote this verse of scripture every week at some point. Verse 9, who hath saved us and called us. Now this is so important. What came first? The saving or the calling? Well, what's it say? He saved us. Now what that reminds me of is my salvation was accomplished outside of my personal subjective experience. According to this passage of Scripture, it took place before the foundation of the world. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The saving took place before the calling, but everybody he saves, he calls. He calls by his invincible, irresistible grace. Now, human religion has the call of God going out to everybody, and your response makes the difference. The difference between the saved and the lost: the saved respond well to the call, the lost do not respond well to the call. The saved accept the call, they make a decision to believe the call, the lost don't. And according to that view, salvation's not of the Lord, salvation's of your response. You're the one dependent as to whether or not you're saved. But that's not what the call of grace is. He saved us and he called us. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I want you to see this. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence, give every effort. Make this the purpose of your life. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now the only way you're going to make your election sure is if you make your calling sure. Give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Now, if God elected you, he'll call you. And the only way you'll know whether or not God has elected you is if you understand this calling. And he says you can make it sure. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, how can I make my calling sure? That's what I want to end this thing with. How can I, Todd Nybert, how can I make my calling sure? Bible says I can. And we see from this the importance of this thing of calling. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. How can I make my calling sure? Well, I've got 3 points, all of which cannot be separated. 3 things that will demonstrate to us, to me, whether or not God has called me. Now, here's the first thing. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says, and you can write this down, look it up later, he called you by our gospel. And here's the first way that I can see if I can make my calling sure. He called you
by our gospel. Now, I'm sure of this. If I haven't heard the gospel, he hadn't called me. If I haven't believed the gospel, he hadn't called me. So the critical thing for me to understand here is, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:3, it's how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Not Christ died for our sins. You know, I could get up and say Christ died for our sins. I never preach the gospel. Nobody would ever hear the gospel. That's a generic statement. It's how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now that's the gospel. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's the gospel. And believing the gospel, first you've got to hear the gospel, and then you've got to believe the gospel. And let me say this, believing is not believing that you're elect. Believing is not believing you've been called. Believing is believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And whatever he did must be successful. You are relying the very salvation of your soul on who he is and what he did as being successful. You don't really... Assurance comes from being assured of who he is. Somebody says, I have full assurance that I'm saved. Well, good. That doesn't mean you are. A lot of folks think they're saved and wake up in hell. That's a very sobering thought. But they really thought they were saved. They really believed sincerely that they were saved. But they never really heard the gospel. Never really believed the gospel. Believing the gospel is believing who he is. Believing he is salvation. Now, let me repeat that. Believing is believing who he is. Do you believe he's the Son of God? Do you believe he's the Creator? Do you believe he's the Sovereign of the universe? Do you believe if he died for you, you must be saved? And you can't risk the hazard of the possibility of being anything but saved if he died for you. And you are relying on who he is and what he did as everything in your salvation. Now, he called you by our gospel. It's not so much hearing your name called, it's hearing his name. It's believing him. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. So this first thing in knowing, making my calling sure, has he called me by the gospel? Have I heard? Have I believed the gospel? Second thing. Now remember, we're wanting to make our calling and election sure. And this is so simple. May the Lord deliver me from messing it up and making it more complicated than it is. Do you remember the Lord making this statement? Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And here's the second question. Are you a sinner? Now somebody might answer, well, everybody sins. Of course I am. Okay, let me try to pose it a different way. Are you evil? Are you personally evil? You see, this goes beyond what you do. It encompasses what you are. Are you evil? Now, are you a sinner? I came not to call the righteous. If you have any righteousness of your own, Christ didn't come for you. Really? Really. If you have any righteousness, if you have any personal righteousness, you can kiss Christ goodbye. He hadn't done anything for you. But if you are a sinner, that means that all you do is sin. If you did it, it's sin. You cannot not sin. Well, I'm going to go 10 seconds without sin. Can't be done. Can't be done because of who I am, because of who you are. And this sin I'm speaking of, it's my fault. I'm not a victim. I can't blame God. I can't blame God's sovereignty. I can't blame my mom and dad. I can't blame my experience, my circumstances, my education. It's all my fault. I'm not a victim. It's all my fault. And because of my own personal sinfulness, I cannot not sin. All I do is sin, and it's all my fault. I can't blame anybody else. Therefore, I cannot sit in judgment with regard to any person over anything they've done because I do the same things. And for me to judge somebody is remarkable hypocrisy. Romans 2:1 says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest another, for you that judge doest. Doest. Not you've done, not you would do, but you do. Right now, you do the same things. Now that's what God says. Somebody says, I do not. Well, God says you do. God says you do. And I feel a little bit more comfortable just believing what God says than what I think or what you think. This is what God says. Now, if I am a sinner, I have no claims on God. I can't say it's not fair for God to do. God needs to respond to me. God needs to do. No, you got no claims on God if you're a sinner. You're like that leper. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, here's the question. Here's the question. Are you a sinner? Do you fit that description? Number one, have you heard the gospel? Have you believed the gospel? Number two, are you a sinner? Now, it's through hearing the gospel that you find out you are a sinner. You don't just figure this out. Oh, I'm a really bad person. I need the gospel. No, it doesn't work that way. It's through hearing the gospel. It's through hearing who the character of God is. It's through hearing how God saves sinners that you find out you're a sinner. And then you find out you're a sinner. Now, have you heard the gospel? Are you a sinner? Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here is the third point, if you want to call it a point, as to how you can examine your calling and election and make it sure. First, have you heard the gospel? Have you heard it as gospel? Have you heard and believe the gospel? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe He's all in salvation? Second, are you a sinner? He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Paul's writing unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Am I called? Do you call? What do the called do? They call. Now, if I'm called, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm calling on the name of the Lord to save me. Now, His name is His attributes. It's not just knowing His audible name. It's knowing the person behind the name. He's just. He's holy. He's all-powerful. He's all-wise. He's everywhere at once. He's independent. He's immutable. Go on and on with His glorious attributes. The name of the Lord is the person behind the name. There's a specific person behind the name. Your name, my name, His name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, whosoever, that ought to ring as good news to you. You're whosoever. You can fit yourself in that demographic, can't you? You are whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord That's who he is. Whosoever shall call, Lord, save me. Save me by your sovereignty, by an act of your sovereign will. Save me by your justice. Save me by your love. Save me by your grace. Save me by your faithfulness. You're calling upon his name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall. That's sure. Shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, how do I make my calling and election sure? First, let's begin with the gospel. He called you by our gospel. The gospel Paul preached, the gospel presented in the scripture, the gospel that actually saves sinners. My gospel. The gospel which is gospel to me, it's good news to me. Number one, have you heard the gospel? Number two, are you a sinner? Number three, do you call? Do you call on the name of the Lord? Well, if you do, you've made your calling, sure. And you know what comes after that? Your election. Your election. If you make your calling sure, you make your election sure. And listen to this scripture. Romans chapter 11, verse 29 says, the gifts and calling of God is without repentance. God never calls and then takes it back. It is his eternal call. Faithful, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I remember one time hearing Walter Gruber say, what's your favorite scripture? He said, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. That's a passage of scripture we ought to, Lord, you said it, you do it. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God never goes back on his call. One other scripture, I want to bring this out. I don't have 1 Corinthians 1. Let me show you something all the called have in common. And this really encompasses all three of those points. Verse 24. But unto them which are the called, both Jews and Greeks, religious and unreligious, whoever God has called, Christ, the power of God. Christ, the wisdom of God. Now let me tell you what all of the called believe. They believe that Christ is the very power of God unto their salvation. It's Christ that put away my sin. It's Christ that gave me righteousness. Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And Christ is the wisdom of God unto salvation. Oh, the wisdom of God that made a way for him to be just and justify somebody like me. Christ, the power of God. Christ, the wisdom of God. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called.